Hey everyone, welcome to the Basically Bookish podcast. I'm Abby.
And I'm Ashley, and we're going to be chatting all things bookish. This is episode 35 of the Basically Bookish podcast, and today we are going to be talking about fictional families, and we have a guest. Becky Wade is here to talk with us today, so welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to join you ladies here. It's one of my favorite things to talk about books.
I think it's Abby's favorite thing to talk about fictional families.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
Abby's very excited about this one. Okay. First off, did you always want to write families? Or was it something that just kind of was born out of the idea that you had and you just like had to add some family members?
You know, I had always wanted to write a series about a family. In fact, that dream of mine was born out of the fact that I loved reading series about families. And I had read so many that I just loved. It was so much fun to get to return to the same family and follow them over a number of years. And there was just a depth and a charming factor there to also return to their town. And I don't know, there was just this wonderful familiarity that I loved, and I wanted to try it for myself.
Okay. Do you have a favorite of your fictional families and also a favorite family member? I know you're not supposed to have favorites in families, but is it okay if they're fictional?
No, I don't have a favorite between my two family series that I've done, because I've done the Porters and then I've done the Bradfords. I have a few favorite family members, maybe. So one that jumps out for sure is Nora from the Bradford sisters.
Yeah.
She was the heroine of True to You, and she was the one that was very, very bookish. And she was a delight to write because I just knew her. I didn't have to even spend a ton of time unpacking who she was and trying to get to the heart of her. It was just, she just kind of sprang to life full blown. In the Porter family series, I loved Drew Porter. She was one of my other favorite heroines of all time because she was a female bodyguard and she wore high heels and carried a gun, and she was really like tough and brave, and she was a delight, you know, just from an author's perspective to get to kind of embody that while I was writing her story. So those two heroines jump out, and then of course I really write my books for the heroes.
And we read them for the heroes.
Yeah, I mean, I write romance, so I write them for the guys. In my Porter family series, all three of those brothers are very near and dear to my heart. So you had Beau, who was noble and humble. You had Ty, who was swaggering and charming. And then you had Jake, who was wounded and had a heart of gold. So, yeah. I didn't have, you know, the Bradfords were all sisters.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any brothers in the mix there. But those three brothers and the Porter family will always be special to me. And actually, I haven't even told this to anybody yet, but I think I might try writing about brothers next.
You should. Yeah,
please.
Just do it.
We are here for that.
Oh my goodness. Abby, what is your favorite family member?
I think of the Porters, I think I always like Ty the best. Just that like cocky.
Really?
Humor. Yeah, I know he's not your favorite one.
No, he's not my least favorite, but I'm just so surprised that you went with that one.
Yeah, him or Jake. I did like Jake a lot, but I am more for the, like, cocky hero. And then, of the sisters and the Bradford sisters, I think Nora was my favorite just because, I mean, she's bookish and you gotta love it.
Gosh, I feel like I just love Beau. I don't know. I usually go for the one that's probably like more of the bad guy, but I don't know. Beau was just so steady and dependable. There was something comforting about him. And I don't know if I could pick a favorite Bradford sister. That's not fair. I feel like I love Nora so much. But I think Britt, well, I think I love Xander. And I mean, yeah. I loved Britt, but I'm like, I was really here for Xander. So I guess I would say Nora. But yeah, gosh. Stop writing them so good and we don't have to choose. I mean, it's too hard. How much do you draw from your own sibling, like sister relationship for either inspiration or for like, I mean, I guess my mind goes towards the Bradford sisters because they're all sisters, but I guess you could use that kind of, you know, sibling bond for any of your family members. But how much do you draw from your own like relationships with sisters?
Quite a bit, especially when writing the Bradford sister series. I wanted to show sisters, adult sisters who had a good relationship, because I am also one of three daughters and we get along great. And so I think there's a place certainly for books that delve into really difficult sister relationships, because that's legitimate too. But in this case, I just really wanted to show sisters who had a great rapport, who shared a sense of humor, who were supportive of each other, and who had a closeness as adults, even though Willow, for example, had been living far away, etc. I drew on my own relationship with my sisters quite a bit with that one.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like maybe that's why they come across as very genuine, is because maybe you know, obviously you kind of imparted that with your writing, but they do come across as like they could be real. And yeah. It probably is because based on your experience, it just comes through. I don't know. Okay. If you could add a long lost family member to one of your family series, which would you add? Would you add to the Bradfords or would you add to the Porters? Like a long lost sibling.
Right. Oh, I have never thought about that question before. That's a good one. I've never heard. So the Porter series was 4 books long.
Yeah.
And the Bradford sisters was 3. So I guess if I was going to add a book, I would add it to the Bradford sisters. And if I was going to add a sibling, I might give the parents of the Bradford sisters.
Yeah.
Garner and Kathleen, who were the biological parents of Britt. I might give them one more sibling if I was going to add anybody in.
Well, that could be fine.
Yeah, that way Kathleen could have had 2 instead of 1.
That would definitely change the family dynamic that they have.
It would. Yeah. I've never thought about that before. I always envisioned it as 3 sisters because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah. I mean, we have 3 sisters in our family. So that's, I think that's one of the reasons we gravitated towards the book so much, is because it was very much our experience in life. There was 3 of us. Mm-hmm. Just made sense.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay.
So what you are currently writing in your series is like a friend kind of group. Would you say it's easier to navigate like the sibling relationships as you write, or the more of like a friend group type situation, since you've done both now? Well, you probably did both before. I don't know.
It was complex at the outset of planning my Misty River Romance series, because I had just done 2 family series back to back, and I had to work a little harder to figure out how I could tie my characters together closely if it wasn't through family bonds. And so it took more work and was more challenging at the outset. But then since then, it's been about the same level of difficulty trying to stitch those relationships together as it was in my prior books. You know, trying to have these very distinct personalities and then showing them interacting on the page and making sure you're bringing in like the past characters just enough, but not too much. All of that is always tricky. And that has been about the same level of difficulty for this new series as for my prior 2.
Yeah, I would think that's hard. Because I'm like, with friend groups, they have to genuinely, like, even if they have issues, still like each other, or they just stop hanging out.
Right. Yeah. Family, you're just, yeah. You can't, yeah.
You might be more stuck with them.
Yeah, you might be. You have other bonds that are holding you together. But friendship, friendship is different, because you're right. If you want to excuse yourself from the group, you can. And one of my characters did that. Luke, the character that I'm writing a book about right now, he stepped away from the friend group. So he's hardly in the first two books at all, because he opted out. So then it was like, okay, how can I have him, you know, rekindle a relationship with these people in a believable way? Yeah. And I had to figure that out.
And we'll see.
Yes.
Okay, we're both kind of like nutty about family series. We love them. What do you think draws readers to like the fictional family, as opposed to just maybe a standalone book or books that are sharing like a common kind of subject matter, maybe? I don't know. There's something about reading a family series that I'm always like, yes, it's a family series.
I think what draws us in, and what I love so much about when I read family series, is just that I get to be a part of this fictional family. Like, when I'm reading the book, I'm becoming the characters. And so I'm becoming a part of this group. And I get to experience through the pages of the novel their bonds, their love, their history, their struggles. And there's just a lot of meat there. You know, it just lends itself to quite a bit of depth. And it's neat to see families. It's just heartwarming to see families growing together and facing hard times together and, you know, loving each other through thick and thin. There's just something really kind of inspiring about that for me as a reader.
What about you, Abby? What makes you pick up a family series as opposed to something else?
I mean, I feel like a lot of the same things that you're saying, Becky, and just like the whole fact that like, it's basically like one long story in several parts. And you really get to like connect with the whole family. And it's like, okay, you finish the book, but it's not that like, oh, well, the book's done. It's like, okay, but the next book, they're going to pop up in it because they're siblings. And so it's like, you get to that, like, just have that continuity throughout it. And I also just, sibling banter is just the best. Like, there's nothing like razzing your siblings. So I'm here for that.
I think for me, it's, I always feel like with a family series, like you're going to have one character or one book that you can relate to, because you may not connect with each and every book from an author, but as a family series, there's typically more than one sibling or whatever involved. And so there's usually one that you can like see some of your characteristics in, or you have a shared experience or circumstance with. And it just kind of, I don't know, you gravitate towards those books in the family series is what I think. So for me, I think that's why I like them, because usually there's like one book that I'm like, oh, this is my person.
Yeah. Right. You feel seen, represented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Upcoming fictional families, are you going to give us more? Are you going to take a longer break and continue a series that's not like family related, or can you even tell us?
Well, I haven't started planning my next series yet, but I'll tell you what I'm thinking at this point. So I'm just a few days away from my deadline for the final Misty River novel, which is Luke's book. So I'll be turning that in just over a week. And then I'm going to go on vacation and just sort of clear my head and refill my creativity. But this summer, I will start brainstorming and planning what I'm going to do next. I'm feeling a tug towards a setting in the Northeast. I haven't done a setting in that part of the country yet. And there's so many fabulous places there. So I'm thinking about that kind of setting, and I'm thinking about maybe doing Three Brothers. So I would prefer to do another series exactly the length of my last two. So the Bradford Sisters was three novels and two novellas. Mm-hmm. And the Misty River Romance series will be the same when it's complete. And I just figured out through trial and error that I love that length of series. And so I'm kind of hoping to have the opportunity to do it again and to do three novels and maybe two novellas and tackle brand new stories. I have kind of the vaguest idea about what the first story will be about and what the hero and heroine will be about, but it's still such a nebulous idea that I'm not willing to like actually share anything about it yet. It's still just kind of like bouncing around in my imagination. That's how informed it is.
Even just what you're describing, I was holding back a squeal because it wouldn't have been, but
like you say brothers and I'm like already pre-ordered, like we're going. This is happening. Just hoping it all comes together.
Thank you.
I'm always here for a good hero. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Well, I did my series Connected by Friends, so I'm ready, I think, to return to another family series.
Yeah, was it nice to have a little break of something different in between?
It really was. I do a lot of that. I do a lot of kind of cleansing my palate and challenging myself to do something I haven't done before. So like, for example, I wrote an epistolary novella once because I was like, I've never written anything epistolary. So for my Bradford series, my prequel novella, I was like, I'm going to try this. And it was great for my creativity just to do something totally different. And because I had never done a series connected by friendship, I was like, okay, now I'm going to do this. And sometimes I get myself into trouble because I take on challenges sometimes with my writing and then think, what have I done? Like, I'm not equipped to do this. Why didn't I just keep doing what I'm comfortable with? But the Lord, I don't think very often calls us to just keep doing what we're comfortable with, like if we're tuned into Him. Most often He calls us to do something that's new and it's difficult so that we'll not be able to do it unless we rely on Him. So that's kind of the path that I've taken so far. He keeps calling me to do stuff that makes me uncomfortable and I just keep showing up.
Hey, I think it's working for you, clearly.
I love my job.
Yeah, we love you doing your job.
Thanks.
Okay, I have some get to know you questions.
Okay.
So these are just random, but it's my favorite part of guests coming on. Okay, favorite game to play with friends or family?
We play the card game Nerds here.
Oh, I love that one.
And it actually showed up in one of my novels. I had the family playing Nerds, but that was based on the true story of our family playing it. I'm terrible. I'm the worst player in our whole family, but I do enjoy it. So I just get up there and I just get ready to lose. I know I'm going down.
Yeah, my sister and I are like the speed demons at that game, and so everyone's always like annoyed to play with us.
Yes, I can imagine. I can relate to that feeling.
Okay, Abby, what's your favorite game?
I think my current favorite is Codenames.
Oh.
So, I don't know if you've played it, but it's like you have like this list of words and you have to like try to the one team has some of the words, the other team has the other set of the words, and your partner doesn't know which one are yours, so you're trying to get them to guess your words but not the other people's words. So it's really fun, but that's probably my current favorite. I mean, I play a lot of games, so
I don't play hardly any games because I'm bad at them all and I kind of hate them. I'm trying. Like yesterday I was playing Spot It with Bennett and I was like angry. I was like, the kids are getting these faster and I'm an adult. Like, what's wrong with me? And I was visibly getting upset when he would like get another match. And I was like, I can't be doing this. This is not appropriate. I don't know. We play Among Us online. So maybe I would say that because that's the game I most recently will play with the kids and not get angry while playing.
My daughter loves that game.
So probably Among Us. And it is fun to play with the boys. Like, it's something that we can all do, and it takes no skill. So mm-hmm. I'm good. Okay, favorite ice cream flavor, I guess.
Peppermint. We have
peppermint.
We have a Brahms in our neighborhood, which is fortunate living in Northwest Dallas. Yes,
the only one that I know of. Peppermint ice cream.
They make such good peppermint ice cream. So yeah, that's my favorite.
People think I'm weird because I eat it out of season, but I don't think that it's a Christmas ice cream.
I agree. I don't either.
It's just great.
I think peppermint is always in season.
Yeah. All right, Abby, I know you're an ice cream lover, so
I am.
What's the deal? What's the fave?
My favorite is from we have an ice cream place called Brewster's here, and they have one called Graham Central Station, and it's like a kind of like caramelly flavored ice cream with like graham cracker crumb chunks and chocolate chunks, and it's just the bomb.
Wow, so that's delicious. Like
go-to.
So I guess for me, at Brahms, they also have what they call butter brickle, which you can't get at all the Brahms, I don't think, but sometimes you can find it. And it's basically like a butter toffee flavored ice cream with like toffee brickle bits in it. So I would say amazing. That or peppermint, because if you can't find the butter brickle, peppermint is always a good substitute, but yeah, butter brickle, I think.
Brahms, so good.
It is, and not everyone has it, so.
I know. Yep.
People say, like, what? And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, it's this small store, and not everyone has it, I guess.
Well, even my dad, when he comes from California, my mom and dad come together to stay with us, he takes the kids there every single time he comes because he's very frugal. And like a ice cream cone at Brahms is like $1.50 or something. Yeah. And he used to take us to get ice cream when we were girls. And it's just so sweet that he goes and he hits Brahms every time he's nearby because he doesn't have one out where he's from in California.
Okay, would you rather be the driver of the car or a passenger in a car?
I would rather be a passenger in a car. That way I can read.
Yeah. Abby?
Yeah, it depends on who the driver is. Actually, I want to be the passenger, but there are some family members where I'm like, uh-uh, I'm driving. I can't. Like, it's not relaxing to be in the passenger seat. So,
yeah. I think I would always rather be the passenger. I just don't, I mean, I drive anywhere. It's just something I do. But like, if I could choose, I would just ride along all day. I don't want to be in charge of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, although I will say, I could relate to Abby. There are certain family members that I'll just drive.
I don't think we have any of those. I don't have anyone that I'm afraid to ride with. So I guess I would feel differently if I did.
Yeah. There are some siblings where it's like, you don't want to put your life in their hands.
Or you don't want to get car sick from their heavy braking and accelerating.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, what was your last frivolous purchase?
Well, yesterday I bought another lip gloss, which, believe me, I do not need more lip gloss. I love lip gloss. I haven't really, you know, gone many places in the last year and a half, and yet I have more lip gloss than a girl could need as if I'm going places. It's just a way for me to feel like maybe I'll be doing something fun tomorrow and I'll need this lip gloss. So I just did buy lip gloss yesterday.
I always need to get lip gloss.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm trying to think if I've purchased, I mean, I guess maybe some books that I technically didn't need but wanted would be maybe what I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like everything I bought lately has been like, oh, I need this, or like it's a necessity. So
I'm like trying to decide on what level I'm owning up to.
This is a public forum.
I know. I mean, okay, I guess technically this was not a needed purchase, but I bought like a foot mask today in the Target pickup because my friends come over on Monday and we do like Bachelor watch, and we've started doing like, there are these little booties that you slip your feet into and it like wraps around your feet. And so you sit with them on and you can't be bothered by your children or anyone else because your feet are in the booties. So you can't do anything, and it softens your feet and gets you ready for like flip-flop season. So
wow.
It's not that needed.
Sounds like a really fun, frivolous purchase.
Yeah, though. I mean, it is very fun. Enjoyable. It's useful, kind of. Mm-hmm. Kind of. I mean, it's kind of like with the lip gloss. Did I need mm-hmm. it? No, but it is useful.
Yes. In time, I will use all the lip gloss I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or lose it. One of the two. I lose mine. Okay. What is an upcoming book that you're excited about?
Let me think. This is what's at the top of my mind right now. Bethany House authors have been talking about Jamie Jo Wright's new book.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I think, releasing in just a couple of days on June 1st. Mm-hmm. Because she just lost her mother. And so we're all trying to think how we can help support her release, because she's not going to have the brain space or the time or the heart to help support that book's release right now. Do either of you guys know the name of it? It's like something about Phlox.
It's called
Manor.
Something Manor? Like
that. Cliffs of Foxglove Manor. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that is. On the
I can picture it, but I'm having a hard time pulling up the title.
I have it in my Kindle. Like, it's on my TBR. I'm supposed to read it this week, so you'd think I'd know the name of it. I can see the cover is so, like, I thought the cover was really eye-catching for a historical. Mm-hmm. It looked kind of, like, intriguing to me. And some of hers look eerie and haunting, but this one didn't quite have that, like, edgy, haunting feel. So I was really intrigued by this cover.
I think it's a great cover. It's
they
beautiful.
Always give her great covers. I mean, they do a great job on her covers.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Abby, what you got?
The first one that popped in my head was Amanda Dyke's one.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Not too much longer. I feel like that's one that I'm like in the like very near future that's coming that I'm like, I cannot wait to read you. So
yeah. Hers I are forgot always about that one. When does that come out?
June or July. I can't remember which. Okay. I have it pre-ordered, so I just like whenever it shows up, it shows up. Yeah, I think it's June or July. It's one of the J months, that's all I know.
I'm sure it'll be super good.
Something that ends in Y. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm really bad about remembering when things come out. So I'm excited about Rachel McDaniel's book that comes out in September. It's
so good.
Undercurrent of Secrets.
I've already read that one.
Yeah, me too.
We've all read it already. Okay, cool.
But I'm like so excited about it because then like other people will read it and then everybody can gush about it at the same time. So I'm like, oh, I just want it to happen. But I forgot about the Amanda Dyke, so I'm excited about that too, Abby.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Okay. What is one hobby that's not reading or writing?
So I love to go walking. Does that count as a hobby?
I said she's going to say walking.
Well, you're right. I have this walking hobby, and it's fabulous because kind of like the lip gloss, it's also sort of useful in the sense that it keeps me moving. And when I'm writing my rough draft, that's when I write it. I dictate scenes when I'm out power walking. I go for 40 minutes and I try to walk as fast as I can for 40 minutes. And I go in the rain. I go if it's cold. I go if it's blazing hot. I just feel like it's good for me just to get out, because from working from home, I can begin to feel like I'm just way too much of a hermit. Yeah. So walking in every season is my
hobby. I feel like I want you to like keep track of any like really hilarious typos that come from the dictation as you go.
There are a lot. You know, I transfer the dictation into my manuscript as soon as I get home from my walk, but I don't try to clean it up and edit it until the following day. And I'll discover all kinds of stuff that is sometimes so nonsensical. And I'll have to, it's kind of like trying to solve a puzzle, me trying to figure out what I said, because Siri, when she was typing it for me, she didn't get it right. And sometimes there have been a few times where I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. So I just delete that part out.
Obviously, so, yeah. It wasn't important enough.
Yeah. I was like, oh, well, if it was important enough, I'll remember eventually.
That's so great. Abby, what's your hobby that's not reading?
I feel like you know it, but crocheting is my usually what I'm doing if I'm not reading.
Mm-hmm.
Crocheting while watching TV. Because that way I'm, like, not wasting time watching TV and being productive and watching TV.
She's making me a cardigan.
I am.
Rumor has it.
I'm working on the sleeves right now, and then I just gotta stitch it together, and it'll be done.
Ooh. What? Done?
Well, I gotta finish the sleeves, then it'll be done.
But, like, I just am so impressed with anyone that can craft anything of any kind. I just don't even know. It's crazy. Okay, hobby that is not, okay, well, I'm not really good with hobbies. I make candles, I guess. We'll just say that.
You make candles.
Oh, I love candles. I'm a fan.
I'm like, I don't know if that counts, but I'm not really very hobby driven. I'm busy, and so I try not to have other things going on, because I feel like I have a lot going on already, but we make candles, so maybe candle making.
I think so.
Let's see. What is your least favorite household chore?
My least favorite household chore is cooking. I don't like it at all. The only thing I like to cook is if I'm baking a dessert. Then I have fun, like mixing it, because I'm anticipating the deliciousness of the dessert and I get to enjoy the reward. But cooking dinner is my least favorite household chore by a mile. And in fact, when I'm on deadline, like right now, I just give that up. I'm like, I'm no longer cooking. So I'm still doing a lot of almost all my other household chores, but not that one right now.
So when you say, like, I know you do a lot of experimenting because of your like diet restrictions. Is that fun for you, or more of like a stress, like to try to figure out how to make a good replacement for something? Or is that like a fun challenge?
You know, for me, it's a pretty fun challenge. I rely heavily on people who know more about paleo baking than I do. So if I'm trying to take a recipe that I love and make it paleo, I'll like do a little research and kind of rely heavily on how other people tell me to substitute the flour, for example, or whatever else. I've had some disasters for sure, just things that haven't turned out at all. But over time, I found my favorite recipes, and I just tend to kind of go back to those and remake them, because I know I'm going to be happy with the results.
Yeah. Abby, what do you hate doing?
Cleaning the bathroom.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather do anything than clean the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's the worst. Especially growing up with 11 people in the house. It was not fun, and it has remained my least favorite chore. I'll do like 10 other chores if you clean the bathroom.
I mean, I would clean your bathroom if you did something else I hated. I
can swap hated chores.
Yeah, I hate like 3 household chores. I don't know which one I hate more. I hate vacuuming, I hate laundry, and I hate unloading the dishwasher.
Okay, I'll do all 3 of those if you do the bathrooms.
I don't mind any of those 3, actually.
Husband does all of them.
Well, wow.
He does every single one of those, because I don't like them. And, like, since we both work, we decided early on, I say we with a heavy emphasis on I said. We're both working and we both have to do this to, like, make it work. So he is very good about doing all of those things. So I will load the dishwasher all day and clean other stuff. But yeah, I think if I had to choose one, I really, really hate unloading the dishwasher.
That is very fascinating, because at that point, the dishes are nice and sparkly clean. So it's just putting them away.
I think part of it is because I'm so short that everything is a hassle. Like, oh, okay. Putting dishes up, putting cups up. Like, if you have to reach on a top shelf, it just becomes more of a hassle. So I think that may have something to do with it. I just don't love it.
Well, it sounds like you guys have a pretty good partnership worked out.
Yeah, as long as the dishwasher's unloaded. Otherwise, he's getting a text message and he's like, whoops. Okay. This is the last one. What is your current or last read?
My current read is An Uncommon Woman by Laura France. Mm. It came out, I think, in 2020, so I'm just a little bit behind with it, but I'm a huge fan of her work. I think she's a beautiful writer. And I really do love, even though I write contemporary settings, and contemporary novels are my favorite to write, I really do love to read quite a bit of historical. So I read a huge range of things, but I frequently come back to historical romance.
That's just so great.
Yes.
My mind just totally forgot the title of my current read. I'm reading two. I have a historical on my Kindle that its name escapes me. It's the second book in The Ladies of Devon by Casey Stockton. But I can't remember the title, If You Paid Me. Like, I could not pull it out.
I know. Those are all forgettable. But the books are good. It's not that the books are forgettable.
Like, the titles just all blend together.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I'm reading a little rom-com that I got sent by an author that... The title's so cheesy. It's called Love Me, I'm Your Princess. But, you know. I can't say it with a straight face. But it's just a cute little rom-com.
I actually have two books going right now, which I don't typically do, but I've been reading two chapters each night of Shadow by Kara Swanson. I'm buddy reading that with Kim, and we read two chapters at night before we go to bed. And then I'm also reading, here's my turn to be ridiculous, Abby. I can't remember the name of it either. It's another Regency. I think it's called The Mysteries at Hawthorne Manor House. I don't know.
Castle. Something.
I don't know. I haven't gotten to any mystery yet. So to me, it's, I just started it. I'm like 5%. So who knows? But it's by Mindy Burbridge Strunk. So I don't know. That's what I'm reading. I don't know if it'll be good or not, but I'm hoping. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ashley and Abby. I appreciate you too, and just all the support that you give Christian fiction. So thank you so much.
Yep, thanks. And I guess we will, let's just say your current book that you have out in the Misty River Romance. Oh my gosh.
Yep, it's called Let It Be Me.
I'm like, it just flew out of my head.
All I could think of was the first book's title.
I know, and then I could see the cover, but I couldn't think of the name.
Yep. Okay. It's called Let It Be Me. Luckily, I could remember the name, so we're good.
Yeah, at least you can remember the name.
Yeah,
of the book,
long as
right?
One of us can recall it.
And obviously, you can connect with Becky Wade on social media, Facebook, Instagram. I don't know if you do Twitter.
I do. Yep. Okay. I'm on there. Yep.
You're one of the brave ones that does Twitter.
Yes.
Are we going to see you on any reels? I've been asking everyone this because all the authors have started doing them.
You know what? I don't think so. I have a 12-year-old daughter who
is
like made for that. She
Can
would
she
do so
start
a
doing
great
reels?
Job with reels. I know.
Everything
so I'm
she
not
does
saying...
makes me laugh so much. Like she is hilarious.
She's really funny. So if she gets going on Reels on my Instagram, that's probably the only way that I'll be putting some out there. Otherwise, I'll just continue in my more traditional, boring fashion.
I want to see a lot of her doing Reels of her critiquing book covers.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, yes. I would be here for that.
It's time for her to critique my new book's cover. She hasn't done that yet, so I'll have to get her to critique that one. Not yet.
No. Those are like my favorite videos is when she talks about your books. It's just hilarious. Oh man.
I need to get her to do that again soon.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for putting up with us, for chatting with us. It was a lot of fun.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
You can find us on Instagram at Basically Bookish Podcast. Hope you have a great day, and we'll chat with you next time.